Well, it's good to be in church. Good to be in church on a halfway warm day, isn't it? Glory. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for springtime and then the summer. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm so happy to be here. I got some things in my heart to minister in the Word to you today and stuff. But, if you haven't heard the last couple of weeks' messages, I would, you know, just encourage you to get those. And you can go online and get those. And, sometimes we don't have time in a service to catch up from the previous week, but you can always go to our website and get those messages. And you know, we've just been having more and more people start to listen to the messages. We've had that one a couple weeks ago. We had 330-some people that had downloaded that and listened to it. Praise the Lord. So that's awesome. And then just wanted to give you a good report that our live streaming is going to be back up and running very shortly. We have, that has been out for a little while. We had some technical difficulties and stuff, but they're working on getting that all done and everything, and so we're going to move forward in that. That might be why the podcast downloads are up, you know, too, is because people can't get it on live stream. But if you're ever out of town or anything like that, you can know that at service time, I think probably this next week we'll be up and running. At service time, you can pick that up on live streaming. Praise the Lord. Well, did you bring your Bible with you today? How many of you know what we've been talking about? Favor. Hallelujah. We started talking about favor last week. You know, we spent several weeks at the end of 2013 just talking about being led by the Spirit of God. And the things that are necessary to keep a tender heart and be led by His Spirit, and you know, to that all is of course part of the favor of God. We need to be in the right time at the right place with the right people doing the right thing. Amen. And so it's exciting to see people moving ahead. And let me just say this, that favor, you know, just because you have favor doesn't mean you will never have any troubles or struggles or, you know, or bad things come your way, praise God, but the favor of God will get you through that. Amen. Hallelujah. And you're going to come out victorious on the other side. And some of you, you know, you might be in a situation right now where it looks like there is no way out, but I'll tell you what, God is the God of the impossible, and He'll bring you out. If we'll just continue to declare His favor, hallelujah, and just and thank Him for that. You know, what you're thankful for, God will give you more of. And so just be thankful for His favor no matter, you know, no matter what you might be experiencing today. Just start thanking Him for favor, praise God, and you'll find that you'll come into favor. Let's look at a couple of verses of Scripture here. Why don't we just start in Psalms chapter 30 and we're going to look at several scriptures today, but just want to continue on that thought on favor, because this just seems to me like this is something that the Lord is stirring for this year. You know, is that this is a year of favor. Hallelujah. Now, you know, it can be raining all around, but if we have an umbrella of unbelief up, you know, then it doesn't matter how much is raining all around, it doesn't get to us. Amen. So take down your umbrella of unbelief, you know, if there's, you know, because the mercy of God and the favor of God is being poured out right now. This is a time of His divine favor. And like I said, I realized that sometimes people, you know, all of us go through, you know, some difficulties and hard times in our life and everything, but that should not cause us to back off of the favor of God. Look at Psalms chapter 30, and let's just start in verse 4. It says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Verse 5, "For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Ha ha ha. "And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong." Let me read that to you out of the New American Standard Version. It says, "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime." His favor is for a lifetime. Everybody say that with me. His favor is for a lifetime. Say it again. His favor is for a lifetime. Glory to God. It says, "Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." That's the New American Standard. A shout of joy comes in the morning. Glory to God. You know, every morning when we wake up, we ought to say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." I mean, that ought to be some of the first words that come out of our mouth. "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." You see, it's an act of our will to rejoice. But it's an act of our will to also recognize that this is the day the Lord has made. Every day, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Hallelujah. You don't have to rely upon yesterday's mercies, yesterday's grace, hallelujah, yesterday's favor, glory to God. There's new favors and new grace, new anointing for you every single day of your life. That's why I like times of new beginnings. I like a new morning, hallelujah. I like a new month, I like a new year. Glory to God. I just like fresh seasons and new things coming my way. And here we are at the start of 2014, and I've just been declaring, I don't know about you, I know that, you know, we talked about this, so I hope you've been doing it, but I've been declaring this is going to be the best year I've ever had. Hallelujah. The best year. Amen. And so, you know, we do it. I wanted to point back to you there that it says that his favor is for a lifetime. The Amplified says it this way, "For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime, or in his favor is life." In his favor is life. Hallelujah. I tell you, you know, we have the kind of life that we should have, that God wants us to have, when we recognize and understand his favor. In his favor is life. Hallelujah. "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me and my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord." Now listen to the way the Amplified says it. "You have established me as a strong mountain." Hallelujah. What do you think of when you think of a mountain? You think of something that's immovable, don't you? You think of something that the circumstance, I mean, it doesn't matter how much weather they get in Colorado, you know, and everything like that, and how hard the wind blows and everything like that, the mountains are still there. Hallelujah. And God establishes us by his favor. He establishes us as a mountain. Glory to God. Now, look over at Psalms 102. We looked at that last week, but I just want to look at it again. Psalm 102. And the first part of Psalm 102 just talks about how tough it's been. And maybe up to this point, maybe all last year or whatever was a really tough year for you. Praise God. It doesn't matter how tough it has been. Get on down to verse 13. It says, Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. This is a time of favor. This is a time, I just declare it, this is a time, 2014 is a year of favor. Now, Zion, of course, can mean, you know, Israel, physical Israel, but Zion also, if you'll read over in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about Zion being the church too. The church of the firstborn. Glory to God. And so the time to favor Zion has come. This is the set time. I just declare it in the name of Jesus, 2014, we're going to see things we haven't seen before. And I'm talking about good things. I'm talking about positive things. I'm talking about victories. Glory to God. You know, when you have expectation of good, then good comes. When you expect the worst, then don't be surprised when the worst comes. Hallelujah. If you're saving up for a rainy day, then just be assured it's going to rain on you. Why do you have to save up for a rainy day? Why don't we save up for something good? I'm saving up for an opportunity. I believe there's an opportunity coming my way, so glory to God. You know, I'm putting back some things and saving up for opportunities. Let's save up for opportunities, not for disasters. If you save for opportunities, it doesn't matter if disaster comes, you'll still have all your needs met. Amen. Praise the Lord. But get your mindset changed. Stop thinking about the future as being negative. Stop thinking that there is going to be, you know, all of this woe and doom and gloom and destruction and everything coming upon you. Yes, the world has got that coming upon them, but the favor of God is going to be upon his church in these last days. Somebody says, I'm saving up for the tribulation. Hallelujah. Well, you can save up for the tribulation all you want to, and you can tribulate all you want to. I'm not going to be here for the tribulation. I'm going to be enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So, the favor of God. Hallelujah. Look over at Psalm 44 and verse 3, Psalm 44. I just believe that today we're going to just preach you happy. I just would not want to go to church and get preached sad, would you? The gospel is good news. I got good news for you today. Hallelujah. Good news. God loves you. He has favor on you. He wants to show his favor and his grace to you. Hallelujah. Psalms 44 and verse 3, it says, For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. It's talking about the people getting the promised land. But thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. In other words, it says that they possessed the land because of favor, because of the favor of God. It wasn't because they were the strongest. It wasn't because they were the mightiest. It wasn't because they had the most well-trained armies or anything like that. But praise God, God favored the people of Israel, and they went in and they possessed the land. And let me tell you something, favor will bring you into your possessions. Favor, if we recognize the favor of God, it'll bring us places. It'll take us places we could not go on our own. The favor of God will bring us before influential people. The favor of God will bring us before people who can change our circumstances. The favor of God will bring us into a place where that we can have abundance in our life. The favor of God will bring us places where that you haven't even imagined or thought of before. Hallelujah. The favor of God will take you places where you cannot get without favor. Hallelujah. It'll bring you into prosperity. The favor of God will bring you into places that, you know, people will look at you and wonder, how in the world did that happen to you? Why does it seem like you're always in the right place at the right time? Hallelujah. Because of the favor of God. And you know, when we recognize the favor of God working in our lives, we need to acknowledge that favor too. Because the more that you acknowledge, even if it's a small thing, and you just begin to say, praise God, Lord, that's your favor. Thank you for it. Lord, I just thank you for it in the name of Jesus. I mean, it might be just something as simple as, you know, just the policeman not writing you out a ticket when you deserved it. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your favor. I don't know. I've had several times over the last many years that I deserved a ticket. And I've had the officer just say, you know what? I'm going to let you go this time, but slow it down. Woo, glory to God. And I drive away saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your favor, Lord. And sometimes it might not even be because they intended to. I remember Francis and I were driving along one time. He was driving this time. Going down the road and going over the speed limit, and I was thinking, oh, we better slow down. And then just then a police car came and whipped around, pulled us over, and he started taking his information and everything, and he was standing there taking the information, and you know, and I mean, it was an egregious offense. just such a lawbreaker. He said he turned around the numbers. It was a 35 and he was doing 53. But the policeman was standing there talking and, you know, and he was, you know, just getting ready to write out a ticket. But his partner came up to the car and said something to him, or did he hear something on the radio? I don't remember which. But he just said, well, you get off this time, give him back his license. He says, I got to go. So, hallelujah. Because of the favor of God, he had somebody else do something that was more egregious than... Now, I thought it was because I was with him, and because, you know, but it doesn't matter, you know. But that was favor, hallelujah. That was favor he got out of that. Praise the Lord. That's a time to thank God for his favor. Hallelujah. Favor. Praise the Lord. The Amplified Bible in the New Testament translates God's grace. The word grace and favor are the same word pretty much in the New Testament. Grace and favor. And so when you see the word grace, you know, a lot of times the Amplified will translate that God's unmerited favor. So that means that it doesn't have anything to do with us. It's not us just deserving it. It's by faith. We have the grace of God because of faith. We believe Him. We trust Him for it. Amen? And when we trust Him for it and we believe Him for it, praise God, then we see things happen different in our lives. You know, instead of being like Alfalfa, you know, on the Little Rascals, you know, and he says, and then the sky opened up and a big booming voice from heaven said, I just hate you, Alfalfa. Or was it, I don't like you, Alfalfa, something like that. But, you know, some people go through life, you know, just thinking that God's got something against them. And as long as you go through life thinking God has something against you and you're always, you know, you live your life that way. I mean, you know how it is when there's people, you know, who, you know, just with another person, they think that person doesn't like them. They act different around them, and sometimes it repels them from that person. I mean, if you think that, you know, somebody doesn't like you and you shrink back and, you know, stay back away from them and everything like that, you never experience their favor. But when you start realizing that God loves you, you're His child, you've been bought with a price, hallelujah, He loves you very much, and He wants to be around you, and He wants to do you favors. He wants to make your life better. He wants to prosper you. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And so God wants you, hallelujah, you're His beloved, aren't you? And God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be in health. And so stop looking at God as being your enemy. You know, an enemy is somebody who wants to do something against you. How many of you have enemies in here? Let me see your hand. Now, I trust... If I ask now, how many of you are enemies? I trust that nobody would raise their hand then. Because an enemy is somebody who wants to harm you or do something against you. You know, they might talk about you. They might spread rumors about you. They might, you know, do all kinds of things. You know, and that's an enemy. I am not an enemy of God, and God is not an enemy of mine. And some people think God is their enemy. Every time something bad happens in their life, they start thinking, oh, well, you know, the Lord did that. Why is the Lord doing that to me? And God's saying, hey, I'm not your enemy. But if you will start looking at Him as a loving Heavenly Father, somebody who loves you, somebody who's given His life for you, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also freely give us all things? Hallelujah. I mean, God didn't spare His best. If He gave Jesus, He'll give us anything else that's less than that. He wants to bless us. Hallelujah. So get that thinking in mind. So they didn't get the land. Listen to this in the Living Bible. They did not conquer by their own strength and skill, but by your mighty power and because you smiled upon them and favored them. Hallelujah. Because you smiled upon them and favored them. Now, you know, God wanted to take the children of Israel into the promised land for many years. But they spent 40 years out in the wilderness. Do you know that that was not a 40-year journey? They could have made it in probably days, you know, no more than a few weeks. They could have made that, but you know, they got out there and they grumbled and they griped and they complained. And you know, basically their attitude was, God has brought us out into this wilderness to kill us. That's what it is. We got it all figured out. That's why we're going through this hard time. God has brought us out into this wilderness to kill us. No, God brought them out there to take them in. Sometimes you have to go through a narrow place to get into a bigger room. Sometimes people wonder, you know, why have things gotten, you know, really tight around here for me? You're going through a narrow place to go into a bigger place. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, I humbled you and I allowed you to hunger so that you could learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then he goes on to say, I'm bringing you into a land where you're going to have gold and silver and houses that you didn't build and vineyards that you didn't dig and all of these kind of things. But he says, I just want you to remember that it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant as he swore unto you this day. So God said, hey, I brought you through a narrow place so that you could learn to trust me. I'm telling you, as long as we're trusting ourselves and as long as we're trusting our abilities and our skill and, you know, and you know, our own, you know, whatever it is, our own good looks, our talents, you know, anything like that, as long as we're trusting in all of that kind of stuff, God can't bring you into the place where he wants you to be. But when you start realizing that it is his grace and his favor that brings you in, and it's not all of your struggling and you know, and everything like that that gets you in there. Sure, there's going to be a fight, but it's a fight of faith. I mean, you know, you look at them when they went into the promised land, you know, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones of the original ones that came out of Egypt that were able to go in to the promised land. The rest of them died out into the wilderness because of unbelief. But Joshua and Caleb said, hey, give me the mountain. He is 80-some years old, and he says, give me the mountain, I'll take it. But you know, when they came into that promised land, they went to Jericho and God gave them a strategy. He gave them favor. He said, you just march around the city. You know, he told them how many times to march around the seventh day. They marched around the city seven times and he said, now shout. The Lord has given you the victory. He's given you the city. And so they shouted. And the walls came down supernaturally. That's the favor of God. There may be things that God has called you to do and God has called you to take, and in your own strength, you're just beating your head up against a wall trying to get in there, and every time it just seems like it has been just pushing you back and you're not able to get to that place that God wants you to have. And instead of continuing to beat your head against that wall, stand back and begin to praise him. Stand back and begin to thank him for his favor. Hallelujah. Watch those walls come down. Watch all of those obstacles just come down. God says, I'll go before you and make the crooked places straight. He says, I'll break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. And I'll give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I'm the Lord that calls you by your name. Hallelujah. And we need to recognize it. When we see it happening, hallelujah, we need to recognize it. We need to give him all the glory for it. See, if they'd have been strong enough to go in there and tear those walls down themselves and go in there and win a mighty victory at Jericho, they would have gotten the glory for it. But you see how many times that, you know, they went into battle, Israel went into battle, sometimes it was because armies were coming against them. Remember Jehoshaphat and all these armies coming against them, and they were all outnumbered and everything like that. And they could have said, well, you know, boys, we're going to go out and try to win one for the Gipper here. But instead, they began to declare his favor. And God gave them a strategy. He said, you put the praisers out front. You put some people out there that will begin to rejoice and praise the Lord and thank him for the Lord and declare the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. That mercy has to do with favor. Favor, mercy, grace, it all goes together. It's all bundled up together. So when he began to say, when they began to proclaim, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. The enemy turned on each other before they even got to the battle. The enemy turned on each other and they killed one another. All of these armies that came from everywhere, they killed one another. That's the favor of God. And all they did was come in and gather up the spoils. And they were 3 days gathering up the spoils. I mean, there was gold and silver and there were goods and there were, you know, just all kinds of stuff. Hallelujah. It took them 3 days to gather it all up and carry it back. Now, I'd say that's the favor of God, wouldn't you? So, yes, there are battles. We're going to face battles, but it's not our own strength. It is the favor of God. And we start recognizing his favor and his mercy. You know, sometimes, you know, you just need to say, Lord, I just thank you for your mercy in this situation. I thank you because I have favor. I've got your mercy. I've got your grace. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You make the impossible things possible for me. Now, go back to the book of Genesis. Let's talk about somebody that had favor. I'm preaching myself happy. Genesis chapter 37. Hallelujah. This is the story of Joseph. And Joseph, if you want to read the story of favor, hallelujah, this is a story. You know, Joseph, he had favor with his father, for one thing. And, you know, and his father gave him a coat of many colors. And, you know, the his brothers didn't like that. You know, sometimes when you just come into favor, other people will not like that. And they may start talking about you. And they may say all kinds of things to, you know, try to disrupt that favor. And just look at verse, chapter 37, verse 3. It says, now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, I might just stop right here. This is not good parenting. It's not good parenting to show favoritism, you know, toward, you know, one of the kids and stuff. So let's just get that out of the way right now. But but he was favored, and because of being favored, his brethren hated him. Don't be surprised even with when the favor of God begins to manifest in your life that people get upset about it. It's not because you asked for favor. It's not because you're better than anybody else. See, things will come our way and happen to us when we believe for favor because, not because we're better than somebody else. God is not a respecter of persons. Okay, so he doesn't say to one, you know, well, you know, I really like you, and, you know, I'm going to really bless you and do good things to you or for you. But to another one, yeah, I really don't like you. I don't know what it is about you, but I just don't like you. Because he's not, Romans tells us that he's not a respecter of persons. So anyway, his brothers, you know, they were moved to jealousy and envy, and they said, let's kill him. And so they took him, and Reuben, the oldest one, said, nah, let's don't kill him. That's just not right. And so he kind of saved him in that sense. But they went and they threw him into a pit. And, you know, good observation. He ended up in a palace. Hallelujah. From the pit to the palace. There were different things that went on in his life from the time he was in that pit to the time that he got to the palace. And that's the things that I want to talk about. When Joseph was in that pit, instead of killing him, a caravan came along, and they pulled him out of the pit, and they took him and they sold him to the Egyptians. And so Joseph gets to Egypt, and he got sold to a guy named Potiphar. And let's just pick it up right there, Potiphar, in chapter 39. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. Hallelujah. Even though he was sold into slavery, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. Now, I like that. He was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what kind of possessions you have. If the Lord is with you, you're a prosperous man. If the Lord is with you, you can just stand up, you can hold your head up and just say, glory to God, I am prosperous. Oh, yeah, but brother, look at your circumstances. Now, don't forget about the circumstances. Circumstances can change. Circumstances can get better. Circumstances can get worse. Circumstances can go up. Circumstances can go down. Possessions can come, possessions can go, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But I tell you what, if the Lord is with you, you're prosperous. Everybody say, I'm prosperous. Say, I'm very prosperous. Because the Lord is with me. Whoo! And look at this in verse 4. It says, and Joseph found grace. Any other translation you have, it probably translates it favor. Hallelujah. The same word there. Joseph found, New King James says, grace, or excuse me, it says favor in his sight. And he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Now look at that. He's a servant. He's a slave, but yet he is, because of the favor of God, he had favor in Potiphar's sight. See, the Bible says that he'll cause you to have favor with God and man. He found favor in his sight, in Potiphar's sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Because of Joseph's sake. Let me tell you something. It is good to hang out with people that have the favor of God on their life. Hallelujah. It's good to minister to people who don't have the favor of God upon their life and tell them how that they can get it. Hallelujah. But, you know, the favor of God, because of Joseph, Potiphar's house was blessed. I mean, he started saying, hey, man, look at this. Things are happening. The same happened with Jacob. Remember when Jacob went and he served Laban for Rachel, he intended to, but, you know, Laban changed his wages and gave him Leah and then Rachel and then, you know, but God started seeing that, Laban started seeing that because of Joseph being there, he was blessed. His flocks and everything were multiplying. Good stuff was happening. Let me tell you something. You don't want somebody in your house that's got a curse following them around.
That's right.
You want the blessing of God. I tell you, you know, years ago, years and years and years ago, there was a there was somebody in the church, and they just kind of a high maintenance person, if you know what I mean. But just always stirring up something, you know, every place. But, I mean, this person just, it just seemed like they had been slapped with a poverty stick. Just, and I'm not being critical about this, but, I mean, there's, when we learn the word, you know, we know that the word should start bringing us up in life. But this person not only, you know, was dealing with poverty, but they just, they were angry all the time at anything. You know, this person wouldn't take a bath or take a shower or wash their clothes or anything like that. And you know, just one of the ushers trying to help this person, you know, said something, trying to be kind to him. Hey, can I get you some soap, or do you have hot water? Do you, is there anything that we can do? You know, because really they'd go and sit down in the chair, and the chair smelled like them for 2 weeks afterwards. And not being critical, you understand. I'm just saying that, you know, this was a high maintenance person, and they were always stirring stuff up every place. But the thing I was going to get to was that this person did mechanical work too. And there were some people in our office and on staff and in the church that started having this person do mechanical work, you know, for them. It might be just fixing a window that wouldn't roll up or, you know, something like that. But every time they'd have that person work on their car, different people had told me this. The next few weeks, just things would start going wrong with their car. It was like this would break now, and now this breaks, and now that breaks. And it was just like, you know, and I said, well, you know, sometimes you got to get a clue. Now, this has been years and years ago, okay? So don't try to figure out who it was. Because it's not anybody that's been with us for years and years. But I said, sometimes you got to get a clue that, you know, sometimes people just have a spirit about them that causes things to just fall apart around them. Kind of like Pigpen, you know, or something, you know, just this cloud following them and stuff. Now, it is wrong to look down on a person like that. And it is wrong. You see, we ought to treat them with respect. We ought to treat everybody with respect. But that doesn't mean I'm going to let them work on my car. It doesn't mean that I'm going to take them into my house and let them live in my house with me. Hello. Sometimes you have to teach them and help them and bless them with what you can. But, you know, there's something wrong when that, you know, I mean, people just keep helping and nothing changes. You can, you know, I mean, that poverty is a spirit. And until they get rid of that spirit of poverty, sometimes you can't help them. It's like throwing money into a hole. It just keeps going and going. Now, should we help people? Absolutely. But, you know, but we got to be discerning a little bit too. I didn't mean to say that, but, you know, but sometimes, you know, you can help somebody, you can give them a job, try to help them, and or help them get a job, or refer them to a friend that gives them a job, or something like that, but they can't hold a job. They lose job after job after job. A person like that needs to get a hold of the favor of God. Now, I'm teaching you this on favor because God wants to change your circumstances. Favor, let me tell you something. Favor does not have anything to do with anything natural. I mean, you know, it's a spiritual thing. You don't have favor because of the color of your skin. You don't have favor because of what side of the tracks you were born on or anything like that. I'm telling you, Joseph was brought out of prison. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something, you know, it may shock you, but I used to be a white man. I did. I used to be a white man. And then I got saved. I became a Christian. And my identification is not the color of my skin. My identification is with Christ Jesus. First of all, I'm a Christian. I got a covenant with God. His favor is upon my life. But if you keep on putting your race above your identity in Christ, it'll keep you down. If you go around saying, well, I'm a white man, guess what? The favor of God won't work in your life. If you go around saying, I'm Mexican, viva la raza, you know, whatever. And say, and sometimes people put more identity in their roots or their nationality, their natural things, than they do in the fact that they're a born-again child of God. Let me tell you something, I don't care what color your skin is. It don't matter to you. It doesn't matter to me. Might matter to you, it doesn't matter to me. I'm declaring the favor of God because I got a covenant with Him. I'm a covenant man. So stop looking at yourself as, you know, something. Stop taking lesser criteria to establish your identity. Some people say, well, I wouldn't go to that church because it's a white church. Some people say, I wouldn't go to that church because it's a black church. Hey, I don't care if it's a purple church. Well, that opens another can of worms. Well, I'm a Jayhawk. Well, I'm a Wildcat. It's all right to do that for fun, all right? But just for fun. Some people take it way too serious. Some people, their team loses, and they can't hardly sleep that night. I have decided that if I'll start taking it easy on Wildcats during basketball season, maybe they'll take it easy on me during football season. Now, that's you understand what I'm saying, though. You're great. Stop establishing your identity and determining the amount of grace and favor you have on your life by lesser criteria. You are a covenant child of God, washed in His blood. Hallelujah. And that's it. Everything less than that is secondary. At best, it's secondary. The primary thing is, we're believers. We're covenant people. My, my, my. So Joseph found grace in his sight. He found favor in his sight. It says the verse 5, and it came to pass from the time... Oh, we read that. Let's read it again. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught or anything that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a godly person and well favored. Hallelujah. It keeps pointing this out about Joseph. He was well favored. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. In other words, she wanted him to commit adultery with her. Joseph was an honorable man. He wouldn't do that. And it cost him something. You know, by being honorable, it may seem like it costs you something. in the short term, because Potiphar's wife did him dirty and went and told Potiphar, hey, look, this Israelite that you brought in tried to rape me. And Potiphar was so mad, he had him thrown in prison. So it seemed like Joseph was going this way, and then all of a sudden, because of his integrity, it went down that way. But that's not the end of the story. Aren't you glad that's not the end of the story? So what happened? Well, I'm gonna skip a lot of this because he got in prison, but I think there's a couple of things I wanted to point out. Verse 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, or again, favor, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. I mean, even if you're in the prison, hallelujah, you just get exalted to be the head dog. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. In other words, he's the head honcho. Hallelujah. You can't keep a good man down. Somebody's got the favor of God. I mean, you know, he lost his job. But you know what? You know, here's another thing about Joseph. You'll notice in there that he didn't, of anything that we have record of, he didn't even deny it about what Potiphar's wife was. I mean, he just knew he doesn't have to defend himself. He doesn't have to protect himself. He doesn't have to dig and claw and scratch and try to get everybody over on his side. Now, I've done that before. Have you ever done that before? Somebody's spreading lies about you, spreading rumors about you and stuff, and you go trying to justify yourself. And I've found that when I do that, I leave off the favor of God. And things start going worse in my life for it. And things keep going downhill. But you know what? If you don't get out there and try to politic and everything and get everybody to see things your way, just commit it to God. Just say, Lord, I'm trusting you to take care of this. I thank you for your grace and your favor. You're the one that's taking care of this. So he didn't even fight back. He didn't even hire an attorney. He didn't do anything like that. He just, not that that's always wrong, but you understand what I'm saying. He said, well, it's favor that got me where I was, so praise the Lord. I'm still trusting God for his favor. So he gets in prison, gets put into that place of being the head honcho in the prison. It says, verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, with Joseph. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Glory to God. Whatever you set your hand to will prosper. So there was a butcher and a baker. I don't think there was a candlestick maker, but there were, you know, the butcher and the baker got thrown in jail. The king's butcher and the baker. And Joseph was a blessing to them, interpreted some dreams and stuff, and you know, and everything. And then the Pharaoh had a dream. And the Pharaoh, when he had this dream, he asked for all of his wise men and everything to interpret this dream for him. They couldn't do it. But the baker had been restored. I think it was the baker. Had been restored to his position out of the prison, back to his position, because of what Joseph administered to him. Or in light of what Joseph ministered to him. And so all of a sudden he remembers, oh yeah, hey Pharaoh, there's a guy I know about that can interpret dreams. Call for him. Pharaoh calls for Joseph. Joseph goes in there. He says, you know what? I can't do it, but God can. And he asked the Lord for the interpretation. The Lord gave him the interpretation. And Pharaoh said, my, what do we got here? And Joseph came into favor in Pharaoh's sight as well. And look what happened. Pharaoh, verse 39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. I'm in chapter 41, I'm sorry. Verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Wow. This is the most powerful nation in the world at the time. Egypt. And Joseph becomes the number two man to the Pharaoh of the most powerful nation in the world at the time. Now that's favor. He didn't whine when he was in the prison. He didn't whine when Potiphar's wife, lied about him. He didn't whine when his brothers threw him in the pit. We don't have any record of that. Hallelujah. I believe this was a man who trusted God. And yes, he came through a narrow place. And yes, he spent some time in the wilderness, but he ended up at the top of the nation because of the favor of God. Glory to God. Verse 41, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. And as a result of that, praise God, Joseph was able to deliver all of Israel. Let me tell you something. No matter what your circumstances are now, know that you're rising up. You're going up because of favor. Favor, the favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. Start to declare it. Start to confess it. Start to thank God for it. Every time that He shows you favor, hallelujah, give Him the glory for it. You get a raise or a promotion, say, praise God. That's the favor of God. Thank you, Lord. If you get fired from your job, say, praise God, I still have favor. Hallelujah, and I'm going up. That's their loss. Hallelujah. My gain. Because I'll tell you what, you notice that Potiphar and Pharaoh were ungodly people. They didn't even serve the same God. But you know what? They recognized favor. And even the world will start to recognize favor. Your boss will recognize favor. The people that you work for will recognize the favor of God on your life. Hallelujah. And they'll say, you know what? I won't keep you around. You're going to succeed no matter what anybody does to you because of the favor of God. Hallelujah. I've known people before that they just, circumstance hits them and they get all down in the mouth and give up on God, and everything like that. Man, that's not the time to give up on God. Draw closer to Him. Say, Lord, I just thank You. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Because of Your favor, Lord. Hallelujah. Favor, favor, favor. Everybody say favor.
Favor.
Say favor, favor, favor.
Favor.
Say I'm favored of God.
I'm favored.
Good things happen to me
because
I'm favored of God.
I'm favored of
Thank you, Lord, for
favor.
I believe
I have divine
favor
in Jesus'
name.
Hallelujah.
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 We're not finished
talking about this,
but I'm finished
for today.
For more information about the full line of services and ministry products from Light of the World Christian Center, feel free to contact us at 3301 Southwest Gage Boulevard, Topeka, Kansas, 66614, or visit us on the web at www.lotwcc.org.